Well, it's nice to be with you today. I had a nice drive down from Rochester, New York this morning where it was raining, and nice to see the leaves are changing, and I came out here to camp, and wonderful to see such a large group of ladies here, and God bless each one of you today. One sister came up to me, I wasn't on the campgrounds very long, and she said, Harvey, you have a hard act to follow. And I took a few more steps, and someone else came up to me and said, you know, Ruth makes things so simple. And as if that wasn't enough, Toby came down and he said, you know, last night I was looking into the rec building, and he said, nobody was sleeping. Today as I speak to you, I've been asked to take a very, very difficult topic. And that is what Christian men expect from their wives. Now, some of you know right away, someone who will watch football. But very interesting. I talked to a number of men about this, and probably 15 or 20 men, and tried to pull some information. Some of the comments were rather humorous. Please take this in the correct way. One man said he loves to see his wife go shopping. And he likes to go and help her pick out a dress, but his only desire is that she would just narrow the choices down to maybe two or three. But there were some very, very good points. I think it's very courageous of you to ask that question. I hope sometime at a men's retreat we would ask the same question of you. Ruth and I have three married daughters, and we thank the Lord for those three daughters and their husbands. And I think I am more appreciative of the hard work that women do in the home and working so hard, seeing our daughters work, and of course my wife Ruth, and going back in our family, my mother and others, seeing them work very, very hard. I just want to encourage you in your little area of service, a big area of service, that you're in an excellent ministry. Sometimes people look to government. They look to education. They look to many other things to shape a character and virtue. But it's not an education. Very interesting to hear, sad to hear, that a lot of young people are beginning to smoke again. And that's despite all of the education about the harmful effects of cigarette smoking, they're still doing it. And so what better place to shape character and virtue than in the home? It says in Proverbs 31, verses 10 and 11, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he will have no need of spoil. So as we think of that question, what do Christian men need or expect from their wives? I think some of them, you could probably put together this message and you can predict what I'm going to say. But perhaps in some of the areas you might not be able to do so. And I'm going to put at the top of the list for a Christian husband, he really needs to have encouragement to take spiritual leadership in the home and assembly, even having devotions around the table. I remember when Ruth and I and our three small daughters went off to Columbia, we were with a team on literature crusades. We had other young people living with us. It was a little bit difficult for us. And sometimes it was very hard for me, as the father, as the husband, to have devotions because there'd be a lot of noise and talking at the table and trying to bring that all under control. I needed some help. And very possibly your husband is someone who needs help. Oftentimes men will sit back and they will do nothing. Now, it doesn't mean that a wife should be just a cheerleader and not have a ministry of her own. My wife is totally fulfilled in the ministry that she has. And it's wonderful to see all the work that she does with women. I've seen this in my mother over the years and my sister who have had ministries. Women can have a wonderful ministry. And so when I say this, that men will sit back, people think, well, you know, in the assemblies, the women don't have a ministry, and there's nothing further from the truth. You have wonderful, wonderful opportunities for ministry, and use those to the very, very fullest. But to encourage your husband, single gals here, to encourage your fathers, to encourage your brothers, to share something spiritually is perhaps just what is needed. Because again, men will sit back. I just talked to a minister of a church down in Syracuse, and he was saying, talking about this Promise Keepers, a group of men who met out in Indiana, and he said, you know, I think if God's ever going to really do something in this country as far as revival, that he might use this to do it. And then he was telling me, he said, I just can't get men in the church where I'm preaching. He said, I cannot get men to participate. And oftentimes that is the case. So men will sit back. Encourage your husband to take part. Ask him to read the scriptures to you. Ask him to read the scriptures to the family. Ask him questions about the Bible. Perhaps not one that's, if you're maybe struggling in that area, something that's real, real difficult or way out in prophecy, but just ask him basic things and to try and build him up. And in the assembly, if he does have a chance to speak, not to go in the nursery or not to stay home on that particular day, but to be there rooting and cheering him on as much as you can. You know, Ruth has helped me a great deal in that. I know I used to squirm, and sometimes I would really goof it up, but she was there. And I would tell her, you know, make corrections, but don't do it today. Wait a few days. Tell me what I've done wrong. But it's really good to have someone there cheering from you or for you. And I remember Ruth coming to me one day with a suggestion. Said, you know, you need to speak with more authority. You shouldn't get up there and be apologetic. And you know, that's something that really helped me in my ministry. And I want to encourage you to do that. What do husbands need of wives? And the Christian husband, he needs that encouragement. Very easy for him to sit back. Very easy for him to do nothing. And so you can encourage him in a great, great way. And it will be a blessing to you. If you think that women don't have a lot of impact in the home, I'll give you a personal experience of being an elder at Congress Avenue Bible Chapel and standing at the front of the chapel and watching a new family come in. And I can tell right away that if the wife is unhappy, 99 chances out of 100, when that family goes out, they're not going to come back. There's impact there. And so we always spend a little extra time with the wife to make sure that she understands what's going on. So a wife can wield a lot of influence with the husband and with the children in the home. Secondly, I think for Ruth and myself, loyalty to your husband. And we could apply the same thing, husbands to their wives, to be loyal to each other. That our relationship is absolutely private. And the things that happen in the bedroom, pillow talk, or whatever you want to call it, it is absolutely private. And it doesn't go beyond our own relationship. Now, I would put a qualifier in there as well. Sometimes, couples have suffered through horrendous things for years, haven't touched each other for maybe 5 years, even laid a hand on each other for 5 years or more. And they've lived together, hardly spoken to each other, and that's a time when one of them needs to go and find someone godly, a godly person to speak with, and you can be maybe too loyal in a sense that you wouldn't want to go and share a major problem like that. So being loyal to your husband, super important. How about the physical side of marriage? We know that for many men, there's a tremendous desire oftentimes in this area. Some have said that a man gives romance to have sex. A woman gives sex to have romance. And sometimes men don't do very well at the romance side of it. And we maybe can talk about that a little bit later. But additionally in the home, as you go through the day, to be able to touch each other, to grab a hold of your husband's little earlobe or whatever, give a little twink and let him know that you're there. As you walk by, tug, you know, a lot of the locks of his hair, maybe punch him in the stomach or something like that. You know, there are a lot of things you can do in the physical side, and that's very, very important. When you pray, when you give thanks for the food, you reach over and take your husband's hand and hold hands. There are ways that you can touch through the day that mean so much. You know, in the Bible, If you look for a couple that had a physical relationship, you'd have to look at Rebecca and Isaac. I think Rebecca must have been a super, super gal. And we know Isaac too. He was out meditating in the fields and he couldn't wait for his Rebecca to come down the road. Boy, it was pretty lonely out there. And it says that he took her into his mother's tent and he loved her. But later on, as they were older, what's it say of Rebecca and Isaac? They were seen, and one version says they were seen sporting in the field. There was some type of physical contact there. And so that's an excellent example for us. So the physical side of marriage. I think the next one would be commitment. To be absolutely committed. To be able to say to your husband, you know, I'm really committed to you. Wonderful words. I'm in this thing for the duration. Sometimes that's a little, that's the predecessor, you might say, to making some other comments and saying, you know, despite all of that, you know, I'm committed to you, I love you, you know, there's something here that's bothering me. And we need to sit down, we need to talk about it. You know, there are oftentimes trials in marriage, and some of you who have gone through trials, and you know some of the trials that you go through. We had a daughter, our second daughter, who was born with a lot of medical problems. And I remember Ruth and I, for over a year, had to get up every night, maybe 10 times, maybe 12, maybe 15 times a night, to roll her over in her body cast. And we used to try to rush to be the first one, so while we were still awake, and then we kind of nudge each other the rest of the way through the night. But we did this for a long, long period of time, and I think Ruth and I kind of looked at each other and we said, you know, how did we ever do that for such a long period of time? I remember going back to Columbia after we had established the farm, and we had great visions for it, and we kind of lost our vision. We had been home for a while, and I went back, Ruth and I went back, and there was all grown up in weeds, and the people there were discouraged, and to be able to work and try and make some sense out of that and to see a real ministry there. And I remember working for 5 or 6 months, and Ruth said the same thing to me, and I said the same thing to her, I can't do any more. And she said, I can't do any more either. And here it is, tropical heat, and you go through these real trials, but yet the commitment is there. And you know that you're going to tough it out, you're going to hang tough, and you're going to be there. Praise God for the work that's going on there at that camp today. Don't look for opportunities to break that commitment. We see the case of Potiphar's wife. She was just looking for an opportunity to break the commitment that she had with her husband. Joseph wasn't married, but he knew what she was up to. And Zippo, he's out the door, and he went in the correct direction because he didn't want to dishonor the Lord. And sometimes you say, well, you know, I wonder if I'm still attractive. And it's very easy to maybe use the word flirt here, or maybe window shopping, or whatever you want to call it. But be very careful of looking for opportunities to find approval from other men. I went to have my teeth cleaned a couple of weeks ago, and I sat down in the chair, and this gal who probably was in her 30s came up, and she started to work on me, and she said, you know what? She said, I've been looking at you, and you look like one of the people who plays on a TV program. And she got talking about that, and then she went and asked the dentist, and she asked another person working there what the name of the program was. And, you know, it's kind of flattering, but, you know, here I'm looking at a younger woman, and I have to say in my own heart, I'm not going to let my thoughts go in that direction. You know, I have a commitment, and I'm going to do what honors the Lord. Each one of us are going to be confronted with opportunities to break that commitment. But remember the vow that you've made before the Lord. A vow is a vow, and defer not to pay it. And be committed to working out those problems. Two people sitting down wanting to work together and solve those problems, they can be worked out. So commitment, very, very important. How about being always there? And I don't mean in a physical sense necessarily. There are times when it is necessary to be out of the home, of course. But just to know that there aren't going to be major changes. One of the things I enjoy about marriage after 35 years, I know Ruth, and there are no surprises. You know, we get up in the morning and, you know, Ruth is, she's changed, she's grown spiritually in many ways, and praise God for that, but she's basically the same person that I married. I know women sometimes worry about the husband going through the midlife crisis and having a personality change, and that happens the other way as well. But just when I say to always be there, to be somebody that you can count on, with so many philosophies being circulated in the world today, am I concerned? A lot of young people are concerned about making that commitment, thinking, well, you know, maybe this person's going to be a totally different person 5 years from now. I won't know the individual. And so those would be concerns. To always be there and to be steadfast and just give that support that's needed. I think it's a little bit different than commitment to always be there. It's a deeper aspect of commitment. You can be committed to someone, but you might not have the same presence in the marriage relationship as you would if you're always there and you're willing to work things out. When I think of always there, you know, the spiritual aspect, it does me a lot of good when I see Ruth reading the scriptures. Wonderful for me to see her reading the Bible, because I know when she's reading the Word of God that she's going to honor the Word of God, and I know that she will stay with me and won't leave. So those are some of the things to think about. The payoff, what's the payoff? Well, we're seeing a little bit of a payoff, I think, in our 50s. We have the empty nest at this point. I'd say the last 10 years have been special years. Wonderful to have our family, and I wouldn't want to miss a moment of that. But it's nice right at this point with grandchildren and so forth, and there's a payoff. You know, that's what is so tragic many times. So tragic that couples get into their 40s and they have a little bit more financial stability than they had, a little bit more time, and what do? They go different ways, divide up everything, and how sad that is. So think of these things today. Think about encouraging your husband or your father or your brother spiritually, being loyal to each other. Realize that your relationship is private. That physical side of touching each other, of having contact with each other, of being totally committed to each other, to always be there, to always, your presence is there, someone that you can be counted on, how important that is. And then if I had to give the last one, I would just put this in to say that perhaps that respect and appreciation, just as you deserve and appreciate respect and appreciation in the home for the work that you do. You know, a husband does too. Sometimes husbands go next door and do repair work all around the neighborhood, and perhaps it's because there's more appreciation there. And when I do a little job, I'm not the greatest on home maintenance, but Ruth, I'll put you on cue here. And when I do something really great, I go to Ruth and I say, "Say it." Appreciation. It says in this passage, Proverbs 31, what's the payoff? Well, she's more valuable than rubies, this virtuous woman. It says that her children and husband will rise up and call her blessed. Wonderful to leave that kind of a legacy, that kind of a, what a wonderful tribute to a mother to say, you know, that I had the greatest mom. I had the person who would always stick by me. What an encouragement. It says, too, that her husband is known in the gates. He's known among the elders of the land. Someone like a Job. And then we know, of course, that God honors you for your work. And so those are the brief thoughts that I have today. I hope they're a help to you. I know your time is going here. I think you're over at 3:15, and I understand that you have some other items to take care of. So perhaps if there's a quick question, I'd be glad to take it, and then with that I'll conclude. Or any comments? Maybe you have something that you would like to add to what has been said. I think I would do this. I would say, and Ruth and I do this lots of times, we'll say, you know, there's something that's bothering me. We need to sit down and talk. Don't make it right now. say, well, how about Friday night? Can we sit down? Can we go out for a cup of coffee? Can we sit down? We need to talk about some things. And then when you talk, just simply say, you know, this is something that is bothering me, and I don't quite know how to approach it. Is there a better way to do it? One of the things that Ruth has done is I asked her, I said, well, just put a little job ticket on my dresser, you know, if I'm supposed to do something, just put it on the dresser. And that's been a help. It's kind of fun to make a list of the things that you complete. Now, some of them, I still got a couple sheets there on the dresser. But they're, I've got to think about those projects for a little bit. But I think communication, sitting down and saying, you know, I'd really like to talk, and not in a threatening way, don't get all upset about it, just sit down and say, you know, what would you suggest? How can I best remind you that, or communicate to you that this is something that's bothering me? It might not be anything to you, but this is something that's kind of eating away at me. Can we work on this? Okay, let's go back to the
Okay, thank you, Harvey. If anyone else has any questions, you can talk to them at the end of the...